It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Ralph Goodman and directed by Max Huddle. Tonight's story will get underway in just a minute. But first, we'd like you to listen to this.
Heavenly days, McGee. Look at you. Where have you been?
Giving the car a little checkup. It's something everyone ought to do once in a while.
On their hands and knees?
Well, either that or you lift your car up with one hand and check it with the other.
Now, McGee, you're just trying to be funny. If you're so interested in checkups, why don't we get our prudential agent over here to give our insurance policies the once-over? You know we need it, and it's a service prudential agents are always happy to give.
What do you suppose makes an insurance policy change during the year?
It doesn't, but we do. In a year's time, lots of changes take place in a family. They buy a new home, dad gets a raise, a daughter is married off, and it's things like these that affect insurance policies.
Well, I was thinking about Social Security benefits. I bet a lot of people would like to see how their new benefits tie in with their present insurance.
And they should. Folks, to make sure your insurance is still geared to give you the most security, to serve you the way you want, get together with your prudential agent. Let him give your insurance a checkup soon.
In a recent impartial survey, 4 out of 5 doctors agreed that Mr. McGee's blood pressure would be lower if he didn't read the daily newspapers. But here he is, reading the paper and muttering,
"Dead-ratted congressman. I'm all the stupid. If that ain't the dirt... Hey, Molly, where are you?"
"In here, dearie, in the kitchen."
"Oh.
I'm making a cake for the ladies' club bake sale tomorrow."
"Have you seen this?"
"Would you plug that mixer in for me, sweetheart, please?"
"Hmm? Oh. There you are."
"Thanks. You can lick the pan."
"You see this article about Congress in today's paper?"
"No, but please don't read it to me now."
"There's a new bill coming
up. I'm awful busy, dearie."
"Boy, them guys sure got a nerve.
If I don't get this cake ready today, there won't be any pan to lick."
"Just listen to this. Just listen to what they're trying to shove through while us American citizens are looking the other way."
"I hate to do this to him, but it looks like the only way." "All right, read it, dearie. I'm listening."
"It says a small group of congressmen is quietly rallying support to push through a new bill. That if this new bill is pushed through, intended to drastically curb U.S. spending, it will lead to the effect that it is estimated at more than $1 billion per year per capita all the way down the line. And the opponents claim that our American youth, if any, Congress is expected to act this week and estimate its important effect on the current and future welfare of the youth of our nation. Now, how do you like that?"
"For goodness sake."
"Yeah, that's how I feel about it, too. They got no right to shove these things through without consulting the voters."
"Well, I tell you what. Why don't you hand me that cake tin over there and then go in the den and write a letter to our congressman?"
"That's exactly what I'm going to do, you betcha."
"Good."
"Yes, sir, I'm going to write my congressman. That's what we all ought to do when things like this come up."
"Hear, hear."
"I'll write my congressman, all right. I'll tell him to keep an eye on that crowd that's trying to shove this thing through while we're not looking."
"Good boy."
"It's a lucky thing for the uninformed crowd that they got wide-awake, alert-type guys like I'm one of the type guys looking out for what's going on in this here country. I'll write my congressman a letter."
"Oh, I don't know what that was all about, but if he'll just keep busy in the den till I get this cake in the oven. Let me see, I'd better give it one more mix." "There. Now."
"Hey, Molly."
"Yes, dearie."
"Who's my congressman?"
"Oh, fine. Some alert, well-informed citizen you are. You mean to stand there and tell me you don't know who your own congressman is?"
"Dawson."
"That's our milkman."
"Oh, yeah. Well, we went out of town for a few days last fall, you know, and I forgot
he..." "It's Fieldstone, Oliver P. Fieldstone."
"Him? You mean that bum got in there again?"
"McGee, is that any way to talk about a man who was elected to the Congress of the United States?"
"Well, you know the argument I had with that guy."
"Are you still talking about the time he came through here on that speaking tour when he ran the first time?"
"Certainly. He had a private car on that train with a big back platform, and all I asked for was a ride to Chicago. There was a Legion convention in Chicago, and you'd think he'd have done that much for the Legion."
"Dearie, we went through this train ride discussion in 1946, 1950, and 1954, so let's drop it, huh?"
"Okay. I'll just write a letter to Fulbright instead."
"Fulbright? He's the senator from Arkansas, McGee."
I know, but I've been thinking it over. He don't know me, and I don't know him, so why not start out even? With mutual respect for each other.
Sounds like a fine arrangement to me. Now, you just run along.
I'm all set. I'll write Fulbright a letter that... Oh, by the way, where's the...
In the desk.
Thanks, and the...
Same desk, top drawer. And don't spill it on the rug.
Okay. Have we got plenty
I just bought 23s and a couple of airmails last week.
Are they in the...
Yes.
Good. You go ahead with your cake, Tootsie, and don't let anybody interrupt me. I'll be busy. In the den. Writing to my congressman from Arkansas.
Poor Mr. Fulbright. Oh, well, the boys in Washington just gave themselves a raise. Ah, they must be getting lots of nasty mail these days.
There's more fun with the McGees shortly. Someone once said it takes three generations to make a farm. And this is still true. It takes years of hard work, education, farming experience, and money to keep a farm at high production. Whether you're a first, second, or third generation farmer, protect your farm investment with United States Savings Bonds. Savings bonds provide ready cash when you need it for things like machinery replacement, repairs on the farm, additional livestock, or to tide you over in the event of crop failure. Yes, savings bonds provide the cash reserve you need to protect you, your farm, and your family. And savings bonds do more. They earn extra savings, too. You get back $4 for every three you put in. That means $300 put away in bonds this year brings $400 when bonds are held to maturity. More when held longer. It's an investment hard to match. Protect your farm, your family now and in years to come. Buy United States Savings Bonds.
Just a minute. Hope that isn't Mabel to pick up the cake because the icing isn't hard yet. Oh, hello, Dr. Gamble.
Good afternoon, my dear. Where's your little millstone? Napping? After a hard morning of reading the funnies?
Oh, no, Doctor. Himself is in the den working on a very serious, very citizen-like project right now. And frankly, I'm proud of him.
Well, if you aren't proud of him, he is in trouble.
He's been in there for an hour and a half writing a hot letter to the government.
Oh, no, not again.
Oh, now, there you go. That's something we all do to that lad, Doctor. I know I do it, too. You know, we don't give him enough credit. Whenever he starts to do anything, we all jump to conclusions about it.
Well, if I jump to conclusions, my dear, you know who I learned it from. That boy blows his lid faster than a can of wet carbide.
Well, you'll blow yours when you read this bill some congressmen are going to try to put through. I was making a cake when McGee read it to me, and I didn't hear a word he was saying, but I just read it myself a while ago, and, well, here. Look at this.
And let's see it.
Right there.
Uh-huh. And since government spending is at a new high and you cuts wherever possible, this bill proposes that all federal aid for the building of schools and universities be halted until the federal budget is balanced and that schools now in construction... What?
Isn't that outrageous?
Well, of all the stupid ideas, quit building schools, huh?
I heard McGee read something about the youth of the nation, but my cake mixer was on and I didn't hear the rest
of it. Cutting expenses by curtailing education.
Yeah.
That's a fine way to balance a budget. Why don't they plug up some of those leaks in that pork barrel instead?
Right.
Or just make everything out in duplicate instead of quadruplicate. That'd probably save enough in paper alone to build a university a week.
That's probably what McGee is telling them in his letter right now.
Well, by George, I'm with him this time. What lint had dreamed up this bill, anyhow?
Oh, some fellow by the name of Dilfogle. Congressman Dilfogle from...
You think McGee would mind if I barged in there? I got a few comments I'd like to add to the bottom of that letter, and I...
You go home and write to your own congressman, Fatso.
Oh, hiya, sonny.
Did you finish your letter?
You betcha. I singe the ears off of them guys. That's what I singe the ears off of.
Good for you.
No kidding. You better write a letter, Docky. Every letter's going to count this time, boy.
I'll do it. Don't you worry. Of all the stupid, ridiculous...
Oh, and just so our insults won't conflict, let me read you what I told him, huh?
Swell.
Go ahead. I've been anxious to hear it, sweetheart.
Okay. Sit down. Incidentally, instead of just writing to one senator, I'm going to address this letter to all congressmen in Washington, D.C.
All congressmen?
Yep. That way they can pass the letter around in the Senate and give them all a chance to hear from me. Dear congressmen, I says, I realize you guys have got a lot of bills coming up in Congress all the time, and it's hard to keep track, I says.
Well, I suppose that is true, all right.
They better make sure they kill this one, though.
Right. So I says, but I want you to keep your eye on number 485 in particular.
Bill number 485, is that it?
Yep, 485. Before I tore into the guy that dreamed this bill up, I says, first, I says, in my letter, first, I want you congressmen to know that I'm mostly on his side, I says.
You are.
I admit, I says, that to the publishers who put out the horror and trashy type stuff, something ought to be done. Sure. But that doesn't mean...
Publishers?
Of horror and trashy type stuff?
Yeah, you know, like Vampire Girl or The King of the Werewolves. You know, with all those gruesome murders and stuff.
Say, aren't you talking about the Dilfogle bill? Isn't that what you were mad about when you started...
Who's Dilfogle? Oh, no, Dilfogle. I'm talking about down at the bottom of the page there. That law that they're trying to put through to ban all comic books.
What?
And I agree, I says, that them trashy horror stories ought to be stopped. They're bad for the youth of our nation. And not only that, but they keep me awake at nights, I
says. May I have my hat, Molly, please?
However, I says...
Here you are, Doctor.
What I'm trying to protect, Mr. Congressman, is the good-type comic books, I says.
Shall I show you to the door?
Because...
No, I'll find my way out, okay.
Even though some are bad, that don't mean they're all bad, I says.
Goodbye, so Doctor.
Goodbye, my dear.
Now, like you take the adventures of Asteroid Rogers, Space Cowboy. If you ban that, Mr. Congressman, it'll be unconstitutional and very inconvenient. Because I'm reading how Rogers runs the rustlers off the Milky Way and makes the valleys on the moon safe for women and children.
Oh, stop it!
Huh?
I'm going upstairs and lie down a while. My head aches.
Poor kid. She's been working too hard. Well, I might as well go out and lick the cake pan before I mail this letter. Congress won't get it for a couple of days anyhow.
We'll say goodnight to Fibber and Molly in a moment. One way to beat early morning drag is to tune to NBC Radio for the best in weekday listening. When you listen to Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, author of the phenomenal bestseller, The Power of Positive Thinking, you'll join with countless others to hear his stimulating, informative talks. Dr. Peale answers questions sent to him by you, the listeners. These are questions about real and human problems important to all of us. You'll find something valuable in every answer. So listen tomorrow to Dr. Norman Vincent Peale on NBC Radio. Other morning highlights include Strike It Rich, the show with a heart that's emceed by genial Warren Hull, and that jet-paced funny quiz show, The Phrase That Pays with Ted Brown. And to take away afternoon fatigue, you're invited to visit with your old friends Just Plain Bill, Stella Dallas, and Young Widder Brown. For the best in weekday listening, morning and afternoon, tune to NBC Radio.
Hey, kiddo, you want an aspirin or anything?
No. I'll just rest a while.
Anything I can get for you?
No, thank you.
Want me to read to you? My new zombie comics is downstairs.
No. I'll rest.
Oh, okay. Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber McGee and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed with Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble. Well, tomorrow, Molly is called for jury duty, and her ever-loving spouse undertakes to brief her on court procedure. It's lots of fun, so plan to be with us. This is John Wall saying goodnight.
Join the great Gildersleeve for more fun in Summerfield tonight on the NBC Radio Network.